You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
To the Word of God, let's open up our Bibles to the book of John at chapter 16. We've been having some fun. We've been on quite an amazing little journey, really. We've been plumbing the depths of God's grace. And I'm hoping that by now you've realized that the depths of God's grace are pretty deep indeed. And it's quite possible that I've raised some questions in your minds as to what you believe and why you believe it. And the reason we do that is because we are a church and we have to do what Paul says to young Timothy. We've got to make sure that our doctrine and our lifestyle line up. That we are doing things that help people get free and stay free. It's no good preaching a gospel of freedom and then making people bound by the way we do church. So that's why we've been doing it. Hopefully it's stretched you a little and has made you question a few things. I'm sure that it's made you question a few things quite deeply. Why we believe what we believe. But we are going to get people free. That's what the gospel is about. You know, a couple of years back, I was watching a documentary, and the documentary was on the Nazi concentration camps. Very tragic story that I'm sure everybody is familiar with. But what they were doing was they were interviewing some of the children in the camp that had survived the whole experience. Some had been there for a number of years in these camps. And they asked these children, well, how did you cope with life inside the concentration camp, with the barbed wire fence and the electric fence and the guard towers with the guys with the guns and the dogs patrolling the fence? How did you survive that? And the interesting response, this young girl said, well, she was a lot older by then, she said, well, what actually our parents told us was that the fences were to keep the danger out. He said, out there, there's a war going on. There's crazed criminals out there that want to kill you. There are wild animals that have escaped. They are out to get you out there. And what these guard towers are for, they are to keep us safe. And what the fence is for and the gate and all of the dogs, that's to keep you safe. You're safer in here than out there. And so these kids were taught that. The only problem was when the Allies came through and they started liberating the camps, these young children that had been taught it's dangerous out there wouldn't leave the camp because they were so scared and so terrified of what was outside. And what we're doing as a church is we're looking at the freedom that the gospel gives us. And I'm saying to you, you are free people and you are responsible to stay free and you've got to go outside the camp. You've got to get rid of that barbed wire. And we've got churches all over the world that are putting up more and more fences around people. And they're putting up more and more guard towers and they're saying, don't do that and don't do this. And you better get inside here and listen to us because it's safe in here. Because out there it's scary. You know what we're going to do here? I'm going to dynamite the guard towers. I'm going to bulldoze the gate. I've got the wire cutters everywhere I can get, and I'm cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting. And I know when I do that, some people are already got the post hole diggers putting new ones up. But I'll be back. I'll be back. Because I want you free people, strong people in the gospel, not afraid of what's out there. Because that's where we're meant to be. Not closeted inside of churches, gathering around the anointed pastor, you know, that I can give out some grace to you. You are powerful people, and that's what we've been preaching. You've got the righteousness of Christ on you. That's attracting the power and presence and favor of God wherever you go, not just in here. And I've been saying to you that time and time again, reminding you of that. Why? Because it takes a lot to absorb. It's like a big nugget of truth. Pearl of wisdom before you and you look at it and it takes a while to get it into you because it sounds too good to be true that the presence of God can pursue you. when we've got churches saying, come in here to the presence of God. You see, it takes a while. You've got to keep working at it. And I've been saying to you other things, trying to get you free, trying to get presence. But there's a God who has one unchanging purpose. And I showed you from Scripture. Remember I told you about Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham? He only chose him for one reason. He wanted to bless him. That's it. He wanted to bless him. Nothing to do with Abraham's performance. I need a man to bless and go into all nations. So he does. Then I showed you from Scripture how Abraham connects with us. How we are children of Abraham. We are heirs of the promise. So on the one side, we've got a righteousness that is attracting God. On the other side, we've got God who's just looking for someone to bless. It's a perfect match. Dare we say, a match made in heaven. That is it. But you know, the trouble is, it sounds too good to be true. And what happens is you're getting these people that sit in churches and say, you can't preach that because it sounds too good to be true. And if you set people free like that, what is the church going to do? How are we going to minister to them? Well, phooey, I'm still going to cut the fences and I'm still going to let you free because that's the way it is in the gospel. God's grace. We are given God's grace. We are blessed to be a blessing to the world. And I showed you from Scripture too, well, how we get that flowing. That whatever God has given to us, all we have to do is learn to share it. The more we share it, the more it flows through us. Remember the $20 note. All of that. Well, I know that teaching that sort of stuff definitely treads on some sacred ground that people have got. There are a few sacred cows wandering around that I've just slaughtered without telling you. And it doesn't make everybody happy when you do that. I've had to do some things like that because that wonderful truth of the grace of God, some people just can't absorb. They just can't believe it, or they undervalue it, or they haven't used it, or they can't identify that he's talking about me. He must be talking about, you know, the other leaders or anointed Christians you've heard over there. He can't be talking about me, but I am. And to deal with that, I've had to chip away at a few things that stop people believing that very thing. And so we had to start pulling down a few guard towers. We had to take a few fences away and challenge things like confessing sin. Now, see, that's sacred ground for some people. I said to you that the church's practice of continually getting people to commit and recommit is not helping people see there's no fence there. Get going. So I challenged that. And how it messes with people's minds. And I showed you from Scripture how the truth of what is before the cross and what is after the cross has to be considered and it has to be put in the right order. And if you don't, you're going to mess with people. And you're going to keep them bound. And you're going to keep them inside the fence. It just makes insecure Christians. It's scary, freedom. Scary. You've got to know your God to go out through the fence. Then I questioned again, how does the church teach repentance? And we saw how easy, hopefully you did if you were here last week, how easy it is for a church leader to manipulate people, to put on them things that God never wanted on them. Never wanted them bound, never wanted them feeling guilty again, never wanted them to feel unworthy or unloved. And yet, how easy it was, just by using a little teaching on giving, I could throw onto you that you haven't got enough faith. I could throw onto you, you don't love Jesus. I could throw onto you that you're just a pack of thieves and robbers. How easy was that? And that's what is happening when people are messing around with emotions, doing church and claiming it as God's way of doing church, but we're not going to do it here. We're going to get you free, set you free, and hopefully last week you just saw how beautiful a thing repentance is. So we've spoken about confession. We've spoken about repentance, and this morning we finish the picture off, because I want to talk about one more thing that the Bible talks about, and that is conviction. Have you heard the word conviction? It's got to do with the Holy Spirit convicting. And we've got to have an understanding of convicting before the cross and a convicting after the cross if we're going to be truly free people. And when we get this in our hearts, we will understand why I say what I say about confession, why I say what I say about repentance, because you will see the full picture. So I'm glad you're here this morning. I'll try and talk fast because it's hot. Stay with us. All right, where do we start? Well, John 16, verse 13. What have we got happening here? We've got Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's talking about what is to come. Why is he talking about what is to come? Because he's about to go to the cross, and he knows when he goes to the cross, from that moment on, everything changes. He knows that after the cross, he goes to his Father in heaven. His disciples don't know that, but he's going to his Father, and he's going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. So he has to introduce to them who this Holy Spirit is and get them used to how he's going to work. So what he starts with is this: but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's John 16, 13. Now, I don't think that there is a clearer picture in Scripture of what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. Really. His job is to guide us into all the truth. Now, think back to last week. What did I say that Jesus said to his new believers, his new followers? He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You see the connection? What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's bringing us to all of the truth, because the truth is needed to set us free. How do we know that we've got the Holy Spirit working in our church? There are free people here. If there's no freedom, you haven't got the Holy Spirit doing his work. It's as simple as that. How do I know that? Well, the Bible tells us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." You see, it's not rocket science, the Bible, isn't it? It all ties together. It says, "And we who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory," which means ever-increasing revelation, "which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Being led into all of the truth and being set free is the process of being transformed into the likeness of Christ." You see, what we do sometimes in churches, we get the unsaved, we come and we get them saved, and then we fill them with the Holy Spirit and say, "Right now you are Christ-like." No, you're not. It's a journey you need to go where you are ever increasing in your Christ-likeness, ever increasing. And that's the Holy Spirit's role. He's going to change you. And the evidence of a free church is not free worship. It's not the guys going off and the music going off. The evidence of a free church are free people. You know, I was in a church that was in a denomination. It was very controlled. Everything was done right. And you weren't allowed to do this, you weren't allowed to do that. And a guy came in, started preaching this grace message. You know what happened? Same worship team. It went through the roof. What happened? Did they retrain the musicians? Did they get new equipment? No. Set people free. Worship went off every week, because free people worship freely. And you say amen. Amen. The more Christ-like we get, the freer we get. Always remember that. The devil would have you believe just the opposite. The more you pour into the Bible, the more you do of the Bible, the less free you get. Biggest lie ever spoken. The more Christ-like you get, the freer you will be. Now, there's a strong inference to be drawn here, and I'm going to draw it. If we do not get free, the transformation will not happen. You understand that? If we do not get free, the truth that sets free will not get us transformed into being Christ-like. You say, how can you say that? Well, I say to you this. I'm sure that every one of us knows people who have given their lives to Christ, have served Christ for decades, and they are the most miserable, crabby, cranky, self-righteous, controlling and controlled, both sides of the same coin, judgmental Christians that you have ever met in your life. What happened? Same God, same salvation, same Christ. The truth didn't set free. Never worked with the Holy Spirit. Just dived back into legalism and I can't do this and I can't do that. Got right inside the camp. Never got free. And we can't have that happen as a people. And I'll do my level best, and these leaders will do their level best to make sure it doesn't happen to you. Because we need free people. Amen? So how does the Holy Spirit do this? Well, it's got different roles to the unbeliever and the believer. You're all feeling all saved over this side, and you're all feeling all lost, I'm sure, because I keep doing the same thing. But it's a good illustration. Anthony's little cross here. There's a before and there's an after. And if you remember from last week, there was a moment in the message where I stopped and I said to you, you've got to understand something, that on this side of the cross, before you know Christ, sin is a big problem. Do you remember that? I said, sin is a big problem. But then I went to this side of the cross and I said, and on this side of the cross, sin is a big problem. Do you remember that? Exactly the same. Now, why did I say that? Over this side, to demonstrate freedom, God placed in the Garden of Eden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He knew that Adam and Eve could not be free unless they had a choice to make a bad decision. That's freedom. On this side of the cross, we've got the same thing happening. Sin is here. It's just as destructive. Sorry, Di, I didn't mean to point you. It's just as destructive here. And we've got the option to make bad choices here. Just as we had the option to make bad choices here. We've got to understand true freedom exists. Sin is a problem here. Sin is a problem there. And I'm going to stress that again and again because there are people who reject the message of God's grace because they think that it is just a greasy grace message where they teach people that it's okay to sin because you're forgiven and it doesn't really matter. I'll say it again. Sin is a problem this side of the cross. Sin is a problem this side of the cross. It's just as destructive over here as it is over here. Remember that. You remember that, it serves you well. You know, if you are unfaithful to your spouse over here, you know what's going to happen to your marriage? It's not if it will be destroyed. It's a matter of when. It's the only difference, it's when. Unfaithful here. What Christians don't realize, oh, I'm forgiven now. I can do anything I like. If you're unfaithful to your wife or your husband on this side of the cross, your marriage is just as doomed. You see, the power of sin over here, the power of sin over here to destroy is exactly the same. So we've got to keep that in mind. Now, Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, it teaches us this. It warns us. It's Paul writing to believers. What he says is, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. See? Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, you see, when you understand that, you can begin to grasp how stupid it is for people to say that grace teaches you that sin doesn't matter. The Bible tells you it does. So how can you accuse grace teachers of teaching licentiousness when the Bible doesn't? Well, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? And how does he deal with sin, both sides of the cross? I think it's easy to understand what before the cross is, because we know Jesus said, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Remember that? What's his role before the cross? He has to convince the sinner that he's sinning, because we tell ourselves lies. We tell ourselves that it doesn't matter. And we're not slaves to these things. We have to be convinced otherwise. We have to be convinced that what we're doing, we have to give an account to a righteous judge one day. We have to come to that point. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the unbeliever. And I don't know what it was like for you, but I remember that day when I encountered the Holy Spirit. I don't know who was preaching or what the message was about, but one day he just confronted me with truth. And it was scary because the truth he confronted me with was just me. He just showed me who I was. You see, the Bible in Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all else. And what we do, my friends, is we tell ourselves lies. Little ones. And we tell ourselves that we're better than what we really are. That we do things that we don't do. And we tell ourselves the things that we do, we don't actually practice those things, and yet we do. And all the Holy Spirit did to me was just confront me with the truth. That's what you do. I didn't like what I saw. It confronted me. It overwhelmed me. I thought, well, what am I going to say to God? What did the Holy Spirit do? He turned me to Christ. He says, salvation is what you need. Forgiveness is what you need. And so the Holy Spirit's job to the unbeliever is to lead them to Christ. Having got to Christ, over to the other side, the role changes. The Spirit stays the same, but now he doesn't need to lead you to Christ. Why? Because I am in Christ, Christ is in me. I got baptized and you should be baptized because you're baptized into Christ. How can he lead me back to somewhere or someone who I am? I am in Christ, Christ is in me. So there's no need for that anymore. But remember, sin is still a problem. Remember, his job is to lead us into all truth. So there's a big role for him to play. There's a minefield over here. He knows where all the mines are laid. His job with the unbeliever, convict of sin. For the believer, it's completely different. He leads us into all of the truth. And the truth is going to set us free. He leads us away from sin. That's why I get so narky at people that say, you teach the grace message, you're teaching people how to sin. How stupid is that? You've got the Holy Spirit who's guiding you into all truth, who's guiding you to freedom, who's guiding you away from sin. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. How can you say that the grace of God is a license to do what you please when the fruit of it is that? Directly opposite. And how powerful is it to end up overcoming sin? That's what you need to do. Back over this side, God says to Cain, you're angry. Sin crouches at your door, but you must master it. Over this side, we've got the way to master it. We've got the Holy Spirit working with us. How does he work? I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but I've heard people talk about the same thing. How he works is he's like a life coach. His conviction, his convincing is of the Word of God in your life. And this is how it works. You know, you get little promptings. You ever had little promptings by God? You know, I find that life is a funny thing. Different things come at you. You've got no control over them. Different people come into your life. And whether you like it or not, every now and again, you'll get annoying people coming into your life. Has that happened to you? Some real jerk comes across your path. Right. Now you've got this born again, Spirit of God type person over here, the Christian with the label on, and in comes Mr. Annoying. Whoa. I'm telling you, don't always do what the good book says. When I was a Christian, I heard all of this stuff. Mr. Annoying would come in and I'd just be over him straight away. Bang. I'd be into them. I'd cut them to pieces in no time at all. Sarcasm, bit of wit, you know, make them look like an idiot and walk away. Yeah. Holy Spirit. You know, it wasn't really all that good, you know. That relationship is now a little bit shaky. Well, to put it mildly, you've actually destroyed it. And now other people have got hurt. And the sin that so easily entangles gets you. So the next time the Holy Spirit prompts and another annoying character comes along, trots past up to you, Holy Spirit saying, now remember what happened last time. And when you're a young Christian, you listen to the Holy Spirit, you look at the annoying guy, you remember what happened last time. Oh, you idiot. And you're into it again. You destroy another relationship and eventually the Holy Spirit prompts you to slow down. Look at the mess you made the last two times. Why don't you try it like the Bible says? All right, I will. And so you forgive. You think, oh, well, that's the best he could come up with today. I'm bigger than that. I've got Christ living in me. I'm living for a bigger purpose. You know, why should I destroy that relationship? And so you forgive and you walk away, led by the Holy Spirit. You see how simple it is? That's conviction in the life of a believer. Convincing you that God's word is better than doing it your way. And it's not always waiting for blow-ups because, you know, they happen. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will work with me and he'll say to me, speak up. And I've got a little bit older in my time and I realized that people are not always prepared to listen to what you've got to say. And God says to me, speak up. And I say to the Holy Spirit, I don't think so. If I say that to that person, they're going to explode. And I don't want the explosion, thank you very much. And I'll walk away. And what happens? The person who you were supposed to talk to goes off and destroys a few relationships, blows up. And you think afterwards, oh, I should have said something. No condemnation. No feelings of now God doesn't love me and the Holy Spirit's going to nick off somewhere. The next time it comes, Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, look, you could have helped last time. You can help today. You can make a difference. Speak up. And I'll say to the Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, that's going to hurt them. And he reminds you of the word. The wounds of a friend can be trusted. Now go make relationship. Go build relationship. You know, I say to the leaders from time to time, you know, we've got to get truth across to people, but you can't put 10 tons of truth across a 2-ton bridge. You've got to build relationally. So the Holy Spirit will prompt you to go build relationship. Build the bridge stronger. And then when you're there, take the truth across. Now why would he do that? Because he leads you into all truth. And the truth transforms you. And you end up more and more like Christ. And you end up freer and freer. Why would speaking up and speaking into someone's life make that person free? You see, the problem is people put little prisons. They put little guard towers up of their own. They've got their own attack dogs. And they say, don't touch this and don't talk to me about that. And when the Holy Spirit's saying, go in there with your fence cutters and cut the fence and get in there, he's going to set them free. And when you can talk to people about those issues, there's a beautiful relationship where you can trust each other. And that's where true freedom is. free people. Only free people can set other people free. It's no good, the people in Silverwater speaking freedom to the people down in Victoria in Pentridge isn't going to work. Both are prisoners. So God prompts his free people to speak freedom. Simple job. He's the ultimate life coach, is our Holy Spirit. And that's how he walks us into freedom. Well, when we cooperate, we get more and more removed from the sin that so easily entangles. When we cooperate, we change little by little. I'm telling you, if you had have known me 2 days after I got saved, running around thinking I knew everything, I wasn't very free at all. I was a different person. But day by day by day by day, working, listening, changing, I'm a different person now. And I look to my future and I think, however long I've got on the planet, I've got this wonderful Holy Spirit protecting me, guiding me, supporting me, teaching me, and I will learn things. You've got the same Spirit. Together, we can walk into freedom. Together, we can bulldoze the gates, dynamite the watchtowers, snip holes in the fences, and be the freest church on the Central Coast. And at the same time, live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Doesn't that sound too good to be true? You don't know how to answer that, do you? It's not too good to be true because that's the way of grace and it's the way of God. Let's stand together. I have to land this before we all expire from the heat. We're just doing this just to get your appetite for air conditioning up, you see. Father, we look at your gospel message. We look at the amazing grace message that moved people to write songs about it, that moved people to go to other nations about it. It is truly a wonderful message. We see the end result. We got a picture of it this morning, to be free people, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, who will lead us away from ungodliness, who will lead us to you and a life with you. And we say this morning, bring it on. Bring it on. Holy Spirit, we want to listen to you. We want to listen to your promptings. We know and hear and see the danger of sin in our life. And we're not going to be just taking it for granted. We're not going to be just saying, oh, we're forgiven. Let's not worry about it. We're going to worry about that because it destroys our lives. It destroys the lives of others. And we want to be free of it and done with it. We want to master sin. So, Lord, we open up our lives to you today. Holy Spirit, come and work your wonder. Lead us into all of the truth that will set us free as a church and as individuals. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You've listened so well today in this extraordinary heat. So go and reward yourself with a really piping hot cup of coffee.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.